Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank, otherwise known as Moo. Moonvine is Joan Adams, and she will be with us very shortly. Special thanks to Klaus Jensen and his musical partner, Henrik Burke Abo, for playing the music that we just heard. It's called Music for Mother and Child, www.musicformotherandchild.com.
And it is beautiful.
And there you are, Joan. Good
yes.
evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Wonderful.
We do have a guest.
I see. Hello. And welcome. We the call-in number tonight for every listener who is kind of out there is 347-205-9200. And just feel free to call in or just chat. I can see the chat room tonight, Joan. That's wonderful.
Wonderful. I'm glad.
I see it.
We are making progress.
Yes, yes. And we were talking about discussing journaling, journal writing tonight. That should be fun. Let's see if that works here. Yay!
We are learning as we go. Learning on the fly.
The tarot card, the fool, jumping, taking that leap of faith, right? Amanda Goldstein would probably know what I'm talking about there with her eloquent knowledge of the tarot cards.
Right, and I know so little about them. I wanted to be sure our guest knows that you can click on chat, and that will take you to the chat room. It's a little button just under your radio. If you see that, and it says a green button, and it says chat. If you click on that, then you'll be able to type back and forth as you listen, which is kind of fun.
The great thing is if you get on the phone, you can chat at the same time if you are multitasking, as most women know how to do.
Right. Most of us multitask. Have you Twittered that we are live?
I did. About 10 minutes ago, I said that we were going to be on at 6.
Okay. I have not done that, so I'm glad you did.
Unfortunately, for some reason, the link that I typed in didn't come out live, so somebody will have to cut and paste it, which is fine.
That works.
Fine. Yeah.
I did, too, notice when I came in from my Squidulians about this show, and I did have to click on our picture to get to the radio itself once I got to the site, which is interesting. I did not know that. So if anybody's listening and you need to click on our picture, do that up near the radio and then click the little arrow. Of course, if they can't hear me, they don't know to click the little arrow.
Well, the call-in number is 347-205-9200. Now, as far as journal writing goes, I would love to know how long you've been writing in journals, Joan.
Wow.
For how many? Since what age?
Oh, I didn't get serious about it probably until my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did prayer journals in my early 30s, where I had that big guidepost daily reader, and you,
yes.
You know, and you wrote in the back of that back long ago. I did that for many years and loved it, and then, then started branching out from there. But my favorite one, and I do want to mention this one first because it's so easy, is the 10-year journal, which is, and I do have a Squidoo lens about that too, but in the 10-year journal, you're given a page full of days that are the same day for every year. So if you posted something today, 3-3, and you write 3 or 4 lines, you don't write much, it takes less than 5 minutes. Then next year on 3-3, you're on the same page writing just below that in the same slot so that you can see exactly where you were a year ago on that very same day, which is really cool to look at. I have
loved
that.
And you do that for
that.
10 years.
You do it for 10 years, and you can look back and see where you were on any single page for any date, the 3rd of March, the 5th of January, and tell exactly where you were on that day of that year, 10 years back. And I'm in year 5 now, and I really like having it. Yeah, it's a nice way to look at your growth. It's a really nice way to see how you have battled challenges and come through them and, how life changes and all of that. Also, and I'm going to jump in with this one real quick, but one of the most interesting things I ever did was an experiment. It was Butterworth was the author. I can't think of his first name. Jim Butterworth. But it was a spiritual exercise kind of book. But he said to go out in the yard and draw a tree. Sketch a tree that's in your yard, which I did. And then you go back a month later and sketch the same tree in a different color on top of the original tree. Is that clear?
Yes, yes.
And then you go back in a month and you sketch the same tree in a different color, 3 colors now, okay, on top, so that the lesson that you learn and you get it, you really, really get it, is that everything in life changes.
Yeah.
Life is
yeah.
not stagnant. And that really stays with you. If you do that exercise, it does stay with you. We have a guest, I see, the exchanger. I do not know who that is. And another guest. If you all would like to come over and chat in the chat room or call in, we'd love to talk to you. Just click on the green button that says chat.
And the call-in number, the call-in number is 347-205-9200. Please feel free to call in or chat and or chat and call in.
Oh, good. The exchanger found the chat room. I apologize. The doorbell rang and the dog went wild.
Oh, they love it.
Yeah, they've got to go see who it is. Excitement on the home front.
Well, hello,
but anyway,
13. Yeah, hello, 13, the exchanger. Hello to you. Cool. Go ahead, Joan. So I like the idea of a tree because, I'm in love with trees. And it's a powerful image of growth. There it is. Growth
it is
actual roots, the roots that ground you and the branches that go out into the cosmos. So that's very cool.
It was really quite an awakening for me at a different level than I had ever experienced before. It was awesome.
It's right brain. It's a right brain experience. That's probably why, you know?
Yeah, and yes. And it was, the exchanger is saying without the trees we'd be dead. They are very powerful indeed and essential to our lives. But when you're in a blue funk, it's hard to think that things will change or ever get any better. But if you go out and draw the tree and then go back in the next month, you will begin to see that things do change. And honest, to this day, I can't look at that tree in the backyard without thinking about that exercise.
Oh,
and
my
I'm
gosh.
Not artistic at all. I have zero artistic ability. But I did manage to sketch out that tree, and it was, as I said, quite a learning experience for me. I think I'm going to do that. Yeah.
I have a particular tree that I sat under this tree while Laura Whitelaw was taking me through a Z-point exercise.
Yeah.
And that tree has become more or less like a healing symbol. And it would be really cool to do the drawing of that tree with this particular exercise.
Mm-hmm. It would.
Angel tree. Hello, Gypsy Owl. Love to see you. Let's see if I should. Our call-in number is 347-205-9200. Please call in if you wish, or just chat away. Cool. The trees are everything. They really are. So that Z point, my actual Z point image is a tree, and I use that. I say tree whenever I feel scattered or unfocused and a need of centering myself. It really,
right.
Really works.
Very grounding. And you and I had talked before, but I want to mention, too, how much we love the Angel Oak in Charleston. And the tree is over 1,500 years old. It's a beautiful old tree. But to stand under that tree and think about the history that's passed under it for all those years, you know, if the tree could talk, what stories it could tell.
Well, this is interesting. I love to hug. I am a tree hugger, and I am not ashamed to admit it. Have you ever hugged a tree?
I did that once, actually, just to prove that I had the nerve to do it.
Well, isn't it an amazing experience? The interchange of energy is just, you can actually feel a total vibratory essence coming from that.
Well, and I think that's true of nature, too. The same thing happens when you touch a dog or pick a flower or smell a flower or whatever. All of that nature has an energy to it. That's all of that Indian training, but it's absolutely true.
Oh, I know.
Energy in nature, and especially when you're up in the mountains, I think just somehow that's closer to me up there.
I used to work in the Forest Service in Northern California, and it was a lot of old growth forests up there. And one time they went through and they did a clear cutting of an old growth forest. And we were walking through as part of our job of, we were supposed to be planting trees to replace these old trees. And they weren't really growing very well. And I came upon this forest that had been just recently cut down, and I could actually feel a crying, a deep moaning, crying from those beautiful trees. And I never forgot that. I burst into tears. It was so intense. So, yeah, we should really think about these things. It's
and
very
Gypsy
powerful.
Alice, Gypsy's saying, too, that trees know things.
That's right. Seeing that is what made me tell that story. Yeah.
Yeah.
The call-in number is 347-205-9200.
If you would, too, if you'll click on the chat, we'd love to have you in the chat room. There are three or four of us over in the chat room. We're chatting, typing back and forth as we're on the air. So if you would like to do that, we would love to have you. And there's, again, it's a little green button right up under your radio. It says chat, and the chat will probably open in a new window beside where you are, so you will continue to listen and can chat. And we're learning. Hello, Jacqueline. I do not
hello,
know who
Jacqueline.
That is, but I see Gypsy
yeah.
saying hello, Jacqueline. So,
hello.
Welcome to you all. We're
relax.
Delighted you're here.
Relax
when
and
did
welcome.
You, when did you start journaling?
Well, my story is that I started at age 12,
wow.
which would have been prior or even maybe earlier. It was prior to the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And but I don't really place it that way. It's just that I remember it was before that. And I had a journal where I wrote to Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo, depending on my mood. I would write to one day and one the other. And then after that, I just couldn't stop. Could not stop. So I had that journal. And when I read it, it's a very interesting experience.
Wow. Have you ever written to the angels?
No, and I think, tell us about that.
Well, this was, again, another book. It was, I think it's called How to Speak with Your Angels. I should have looked that up. But we went to a workshop and met the author, one of the two authors. And what you do, it's almost like prayer journaling, which I'm a firm believer in, writing down prayers. But you literally are, and a lot of people use their computers, but you set up a place and you write a letter to your angel, and then you write the answer that you receive. It's real interesting to do because you almost, you don't hear it, but you do. You know that inner hearing?
Yes.
And you just write. It's like a conscious, yeah, Gypsy's saying she writes to other people's angels. I love that, right? 9/11, Gypsy. But you'll be amazed at what comes out, what you see, what the wisdom is in that. It's real. I did that very seriously for a couple of years. I tend to float in and out of journaling techniques and try first one thing and another. And, you know, now that we're talking about it, I need to do that again. You write the angels, and you're opening yourself to listen is what you're doing.
Right. It is a listening process.
Right. And so then you're writing what you are receiving.
I think it's important to, when you work in a place like I work, or if you're working in an institution of any kind, to imagine the angels just like, and visualizing the wings of the angels soothing the vibrations of the institution as you, before even a good half hour before you go in. It really works.
Yeah. Oh,
it
yeah.
It really calms things down. It's beautiful.
And I think that's true in any work situation, not just hospitals, but any
right.
any situation at all. And I know you've probably had a million experiences with seeing things happen. I worked in a nursing home for a few years, and the relationships between the patients, one patient feeding another, and things like that you know are just divine to watch. You know, you feel honored to be there, to be a part of that. So there's a holiness about that. You know, human beings reaching out to each other at their absolute lowest point.
Well said, that's for sure. If there's a magic out there, and in here and out there, it's all one. And I think that journaling is a way to connect with the unseen forces, because after you journal for a while, you actually feel like there's some you connect with your higher
self. Your higher self,
yeah. And in that process, you get the it's another form of listening. And then the morning pages, which we've discussed with Julia Cameron's morning pages, there is a listening that takes place there because you actually get up out of bed and start writing instead of waiting for too long a time so that you're still in a sort of between, a twilight between state. And then as you write those three pages, it just does an amazing thing for your creativity, no matter what kind of creativity you're involved in. It just makes you more creative.
Well, the other thing it does, too, it kind of clears your head. I haven't been faithful with that. I am reading the book and trying to develop that habit. But there's a clearing that happens in doing those three pages that open, again, you're opening your heart, you're opening your creativity, and the rest of the day seems to go so much better. Because the ideas are there and, you're just really on a roll. You're in touch with, again, your higher self. So, yeah, all of it has value. I wish they taught it more in school. I think they're starting to do some of that in the first graders are starting to journal. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Whether they call it that or not, I can't. Writing journal, I think, is what Jessica calls hers. But, yeah, you know, to get in the habit of doing it. Yes, Exchanger, I wish you would call in and tell us that story because I'm trying to read it and I can't relay all of that. But I would love to hear that. I'm sorry, there's an energy in that, though, and a release in all of that writing. I think it's important for balance, too. And in our roughest times and my darkest days, I wrote as a way of prayer. I asked a pastor one time, I said, well, does it count if I write them? I can't pray right now. And I don't know if you've ever been that blue, but, and she said, oh, by all means, everything counts. And I started writing, and it was some of the most powerful things I'd ever done. And it also was such a great relief. You know, it's like I have... When you feel better and you can say, well, I've prayed that through and I'm going to let it go. But when you're in that kind of a blue spot to be able to say, I have written it down. I have prayed that prayer. I see it, you know, right there. And it makes it easier to turn it loose. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Somehow.
And, yeah, the clearing part of it is so powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Because
and anger... I've been angry before, and if you write out all your anger and then tear up the paper, that's an amazing thing to do, too.
Yes.
We do an exercise at Unity that I love at the end of the year. We make a list of things that we want to release and not take into the new year, and then we burn it in a burning bowl.
Cool.
Uh-huh, and that's really powerful. And then we write a letter to God that we mail and is held in a prayer chamber for a year, and it comes back to you like November, December of the next year.
Yes.
It's really neat. That's one of my favorite New Year's exercises.
We have a 905 number joining us.
Wonderful.
Welcome to the call.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Are you the Exchanger?
I am.
All right.
Nice to hear your voice.
Nice to hear your voice. I'm really enjoying your show. This is your first show?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I forgot to mention that.
Well, you're doing a lovely job. Where are you ladies from?
I'm in South Carolina.
I am from Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And where are you from?
I'm actually from Canada.
Cool. How did you find us tonight?
Well, I have a show on Blog Talk Radio, and I often look to see who else is having shows and listen to them. Because I think that we learn a lot when we exchange information with other people.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
And I know when I was a little girl, I had a drowning in my seventh year when I was only six. And I had some unusual things happen when I drowned. And I had a great aunt who was a very, very powerful woman. And she would say to me that what you needed to do is that every day when you got up in the morning, before you even got out of bed, she said, you keep your eyes closed for 10 minutes and you don't open them. And what you do is try to remember what you dreamed in the night, and then before you get out of bed, you sit down and you write for 10 minutes. Even if you could write with your, you know, like with your eyes closed, you know,
right.
Always have that paper and pen by the side of your, you know, your night table. And I know that myself is it really, really helped me because with her telling me to keep my eyes closed for at least 10 minutes after I woke up in the morning, I began to really, really learn how to work in my dreams because there's so many messages there for us when we wake up in the morning, and yet mm-hmm. so many people don't even know that what you really should do is either get a Zen alarm clock that kind of alerts you to the fact that an alarm is going to go off, and, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Zen alarm clocks.
No, please tell.
Well, you can set a Zen alarm clock to ring, I think, approximately an hour before you actually get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And what it will do is it'll just, you can set it and it might just ring a few things that sound like church bells.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, after using it for a while, you get accustomed to, you hear that and you know, oh, I'm going to have to get up out of my dreams in an hour's time. And about every 10 minutes, they ring. And it can help you to stay with your dreams because I believe that we're more alive in our dreams than we are, you know, like when we're in actual 3D, that we do very significant work when we're sleeping. And this great aunt, she just taught me that just from a very, very young age that it was so important to journal and
yeah.
to sit and try to, when you woke up in the morning, one of the things that very first things she ever taught me was to keep my eyes closed for 10 minutes. And for some people, they can't sit still for 2 minutes. So you learn a lot of discipline in that. And at the same time, she'd say, if you can, get a piece of paper and a pen, and if you have thought comes to your mind, write it down on that sheet of paper. And sometimes, I mean, I'd have the sheet of paper where I'd written, you know, 18 things over top of the same spot. But more often than not, you know, you could just sort of slide your hand down the page. And I kept my journals. And I found, as at 50 years of age now, I can go back to my journals when I was 10, and at 10 what I wrote I wouldn't have even understood. But today there's a profound message in there. And now
wow.
I'm trying to take all my journals and I'm trying to either create them into a book or a story or something. But I know the trick of keeping your eyes closed after you wake up, that trick is just an amazing one because the things that bleed through and help you to remember. It's just like at night when you go to bed. She also taught me that one of the things that you do is that you demand and command, like in a high magic sense, that only those things that are in 100% alignment with yourself and your higher self, and only those guides and teachers that are in that same alignment, only those things can ever have access to you. The only nights I ever, ever, ever had a nightmare was a night that I didn't do that. So, I mean, that's got to tell me that, you know, like we open doors and we close doors, and we have to be careful what we have open when we're sleeping.
Yes.
Because I've asked to learn everything from light-encoded languages to all kinds of different things. I ask for high-essence contact with people that are going to be crossing my path in the future. And, you know, maybe that's why sometimes when I meet people, I have a sense, hey, I know these people from before. Like, they just kind of stand out because I already have forged sort of an essence-to-essence contact with other people.
Right.
The journaling, it just opens up a flow. And flow is freedom. You know, being able to kind of be in flow with yourself and with other things, and that's something that you can learn, too, by leaning against a big tree
mm-hmm.
and feeling the energy of the tree, especially in the springtime. Like, I come from an area in Canada where, I mean, we have cold in winter, and you know it's not too long from now that the maple trees will start running their sap. And if you
yeah.
go out and you put your ear against a maple tree in the spring, it's just like the most magnificent factory you've ever heard in your life. It's
mm-hmm.
just like finding a big tree that lives right by the water, and you can hear that water just going up and down and up and down the tree trunk because, I mean, it's a whole factory that's in that tree. You know, the tree has seeds and it creates leaves and, you know, some trees have flower and, you know, there's all kinds of different things. But trees, I mean, they just touch all the elements. I mean, every note, every sound, every tone, every vibration that's ever been made throughout time is still out there blowing in the ethers. And the trees are, like, right there, like, just catching it all. And I think
that's
not a lot of people. I know Buddha, when Buddha said that Buddha had his major awakening, is that he was sitting underneath a tree. And, you know, he became one with the tree. He became one with the air. He became one with the earth. He kind of, when he found himself, he kind of found himself in everything else. And we were talking about that last night, a group of us. And it's sort of the way it is that we're all pieces of other people. And I mean, that, yeah. But the journaling is by far the singular greatest thing a person can do for themselves is, and even if you don't think you have a story to tell, is that you will find that your angels, if you start writing down on a sheet of paper, I demand and command that my angels come to visit me. You write it enough times, your angels will come.
Well, that demand and command thing you were talking about reminds me of protection. You're really protecting yourself with that.
It's 100% protection.
Yeah, and that's so important because I think we do leave ourselves open to all kinds of vibrations if we don't keep ourselves focused on the higher planes. So
I'll tell you what else I'm thinking
about. Another thing that my aunt taught me when I was maybe about 8 years old is she used to teach me, she got a balloon one day. And she taught me that, you know, basically, you know, when you blow up a balloon and you get it in front of you,
mm-hmm.
and then what you do is you picture yourself blowing up a big purple balloon. And then what you do is that once you've got that balloon blown up, you step into the balloon and then knot it behind you. So in other words, you're closing the door. And then
mm-hmm.
that balloon becomes your own little safety. It's your own little safety room.
Reminds me of the IPANA commercial, the Invisible Protective Shield. You remember that?
Yeah. Well, we need that.
The IPANA toothpaste. Yeah. So same principle, the balloon. That's neat.
And another thing that I used to love with her when I was little, if you'd ever go out anywhere, she'd say, one day I asked her why she was smiling all the time, and she said that she smiled all the time because other people needed her smile. And that the smile was one thing that you could pass on to other people that would just keep going and going and going and going. And she'd say when she left the planet, she wanted to have, you know, started the most smiles on their way. That was just something that, you know, was something that was dear to her heart.
And that, again, is something simple we can do.
Yeah,
I was thinking that
see somebody who's not smiling, you need to give them one of yours.
Right.
Absolutely. Wonderful point.
That's two really good exercises, though. The lying still in the morning when you wake up, which is something any of us can do. And certainly we can all give a smile anywhere we go. I mean, those are simple things to do that are very, very powerful.
And I think the third thing that she told me once, and I thought that it was interesting, in lieu of the fact that my grandfather had given me a book to read when I was very young called The Master Key by Charles F. Hennell.
Mm-hmm.
And Master Key is like about 24 different steps that people can do. And you can get it for free on the internet by just Googling Hennell, H-A-A-N-E-L. And I think the book's called The Master Key. And there's like 24 different sections to it. And I think he starts out his book and he says, much gathers more on every plane of existence. And for me, it's always been, is that you put yourself in situations where much can gather more. And if you ever get into a situation, and I have a young niece who's about to turn 13, and the other day I said to her, you know, if you're ever with people and they make you feel less rather than make you feel more, do yourself a favor. Turn yourself around and walk away from those people and never walk back. And don't even look back. Because we need to enter into a new world where people are willing to make people feel much more. You know, every single component part, if it wasn't necessary, the great spirits or God wouldn't have sent it here. So every single piece, no matter how minute it is, all has a purpose for being here.
Right.
And I know that the much gathers more on every plane of existence. The whole book made a major impact on me at a very, very early age. I think in part of his book, he's got some exercises in there. And one of them is to, I don't think it says at the time because I don't think they maybe had alarm clocks at the time, but how I learned to do it was setting a timer. And you would have to sit, and you couldn't think of anything until the timer went off. And if you thought of anything, you had to restart the timer. And a lot of people can't still their mind for even 3 minutes. And what you do is you try to go 3 minutes, and then 5 minutes, and then 9 minutes, and then 12 minutes. Because really, the greatest answers will come to us when we kind of like silence our mind, kind of like turn off the monkey mind, and just get to a point where you're just in your being. You know, that you're feeling all the different things that are around you,
yeah.
But you're not thinking of anything in particular. And those, after I learned how to do that, that's when I found that many, many, like, ascended-type masters or guides could come to me. And then if I demanded and commanded that if they weren't in 100% alignment with me, that, well, thanks for coming, but you must leave and never return again, I think that probably saved me from a lot of aggravation in my life, because as people are starting to open up spiritually, which is happening now in very, very large numbers.
Yeah,
never,
it really is.
In the history of the world, have there ever been so many people that are searching for truth? And truth is just that. Truth is truth. It doesn't have an equal. It doesn't really have an opposite. It's, you know, it's the highest expression of how we weave our energy. You know, like by moving it in light and doing it with integrity, and how it weaves out is it, I guess it weaves out as the highest expression of truth, which is probably love.
Yeah, it is love. Totally.
And that's sort of, I think, one of the reasons that I'm here. I know that I'm here to weave and to teach other people how to weave.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the world, like when you look at it as a whole now, it's happening everywhere. People are really starting to wake up. And if you go out and you push good energy out into the world, the good gets better, and then it becomes the best.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think there's very, very few people on Earth that are really rotten to the core. So what I seem to spend more of my time doing now is focusing on how I can take people, I guess, through a process where you take your good, you make it better, and you turn it into the best.
That's right.
And you spread that smile. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No,
we're
just
trying.
It's just
we're
like
trying.
If you're going to make a good soup, it's got lots of ingredients.
Yeah, let me just give the call-in number for those who may be listening, which is 347-205-9200. But I wanted to say that as far as walking away from people who are negative, in some instances that's just not possible. So I think that those people are, and or should I should say can be, our greatest teachers.
Oh, they are. They are.
And they are.
If you ever are presented with something that you really don't want to read.
Absolutely.
Because you should be reading it.
Right. That's right.
I tried to tell a woman this morning that was having some money problems that money is really energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you don't have enough money, then what you need to do is you need to raise your energy. Something that worked for me, and I was amazed it worked the way it did, but I came to a point where I, you know, was making enough, but not enough to be able to expand the things that I wanted to do. And a guy told me to write down on a little sheet of paper good returns and then to write an amount that I needed and what was I willing to give in return for getting that good return.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that I needed the good return so I could write a book that would help people. And funny enough, the universe, in a very, very short period of time, has already given me at least one-fifth of what I need to do what I'm trying to do. And I believe that it all anchors off the fact that I have this thing written here on the little pink post-it note that says good returns. And
right.
that's another way that you can order up the universe to give you what it is that you need. But you can't ask without offering what it is that you're willing to give up in order to get.
Well, I'm a great believer in the gratitude journal, too, and that's the same type of thing. But
yes,
one of my favorite, my sister and I do an exercise every day. We call it something wonderful. And we get on Messenger every night at 5 o'clock, and we report what our something wonderful was that day. Because you do have to be aware of the wonderful things that happen in your life and be grateful for them.
And they grow. They grow when you are focusing on it.
Right. When you are appreciating those wonderful things. I have a friend, too, that keeps a gratitude journal. And the lady that wrote Simple Abundance recommends that. I did that for several years, doing just a gratitude list every morning when I woke up. And that's a powerful thing to do also, to keep the gratitude flowing, to stay in that spirit of thanksgiving all the time.
Right.
We are hoping that AZ is coming to get on the line because she is talking in the chat room. So, AZ, we'd like to hear you, Outlaw. We'd like to hear your voice.
The number to call in is 347-205-9200. Yes, please come on. Please come aboard and say what is on your mind.
So what we've ended up with, though, just as we've chatted, is a whole list of possible exercises we can do, or that's what I'm hearing, things that we can all do to become more in touch with our authentic selves.
Right.
It's important stuff. And I appreciate it. That's good. That's important.
Well, getting back to the money idea, where people think they don't have enough, I think that is an attitude that you have to question, is that true? I mean, if you feel like if you concentrate on that one thing that is wonderful, and then you can really see many, many things that are wonderful, you'll probably see that you have more than enough forever. And that
right.
this whole idea of not having enough is an attitude that just grows. And I think that people with their, money issues have to realize that that money is a magical thing, and it's just energy, and it's all something that is meant to create an attitude in us that sees this.
And do you know Todd Silva, Kate? You know who that is?
Yes.
Todd, and Todd does the Give Away a Dollar a Day program.
Absolutely.
That is such a great program, and he's such a nice fellow. But that is an interesting experiment to do with yourself, if you like. But, first of the month, go to the bank and get 30 ones and just determine that you're going to give one away every day. But nobody can know where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to hide it. And it really is fun. And you are releasing it knowing that it's going to end up in the right place. I mean, I've done everything from hiding them under car to slipping them behind a can of dog food to putting them in greeting cards in the stores,
cool.
And you never know who's going to find those dollars. I've never done the entire 30 days. I don't get out every day, for one thing, but it's a fun experiment, and I tend to like that kind of, I like an exercise, I like something that I can try and see if it works for me.
Well, thank you for reminding me about that, because I always think about that. I always receive his email and read them all. And I think to myself, now I'm going to start this, this dollar a day thing, and because it really appeals to me, but I haven't done it yet. So I will
The only way I can make me stay focused with it is to have the ones ready to go. And if I go someplace and I have the dollar in my hand, I will manage to hide it. But if I don't, somehow I get busy with life and I forget.
Well, this is very synchronistic because lately, just within the last 2 days, I will, you know, look for something and I find dollars for the last 2 days everywhere I look, just dollar bills.
No,
yeah. Yeah, and so I think that's another signature. That's great.
You've got a Todd Silver person there at the hospital.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
That's fun.
Oh, that's great.
That's
is.
Good. And Betty even said quarters even work. You know, she's like, you know, it doesn't have to be the dollar. It can be the quarter or the dime or whatever.
That's
but to
right.
do it, to do it every single day for a month and just watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I always get sick. I'm probably going to end up getting arrested for somebody thinking I'm shoplifting when I'm actually trying to hide dollar bills.
Oh, well, that would be a great article.
Uh-huh. Say, well, look, I was just trying to hide a dollar. What are you doing hiding a dollar in my store, you know?
Or write a lens about it. Has anybody written a lens about that? That's a good one.
I thought Todd was going to it one time, but he never did. I told him if he didn't, I was. Maybe I need to threaten him again.
We've just resurrected the idea, that's for sure.
That's for sure. He does have nice emails too, reminders.
I know.
I enjoy that. It's not too much. It's just enough to think about for the day and move on.
Mhm. Mhm. Yes,
so
he has.
Now you are doing the three page journaling, back to the journaling again. You're doing the three pages a day by the artist.
I've been doing that off and on since 1993, and mostly I do it, and then sometimes I'll veer away from it. But to be quite honest, when I do it, it's very magical, very magical. There's a real energy that just absolutely is there for you. And when you don't do it, well, you just have to, you know, realize that you'll do it and not beat yourself up over it, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, because, yeah, I can't do that. I just have to do it
Never.
When I can do it. But
that's right.
You know, and I can do a page usually, or I can do my little 5-minute journaling in the 10-year journal some days and not ever get to the three pages. But if I take the time, that 3 pages can take 30 minutes.
Yeah, and it can also take 15. You know, it can take less. If you write big and sprawly, just big and sprawly.
Now, not try back tape. That's not fair.
I just also want to bring up the Pray Rain Journal. That is it's an e-book written by Jeanette Maul, Magic of Pray Rain Journaling, and you can get that at www.goodvibecoach.com. And it's a really great book, which I have the heart, and I've printed it out, and I do refer to it. But the whole idea with the Pray Rain Journal is to write, you just have one book. Well, actually, the way she describes it is that you would have a book for everything that you are trying to manifest. Which I didn't do. I basically have one Pray Rain Journal. But she, if you just say you wanted to manifest, wanted to manifest a radio show or or something of something physical or something spiritual, then you would have one specific Pray Rain Journal for that. And what you do is pretend as you write that it's already occurred. And really, the technique does not allow for a lot of negativity. And you really are supposed to concentrate totally on the positive aspect of having this thing that you want. Now, for me, I like it, but I think that it reminds me of being, of ignoring a vital part of myself that might actually feel a little negative about something. And if I'm ignoring that part of myself, after a while, it doesn't feel authentic. So that's my only gripe about that. But I'll tell you what, it's a great book, and she swears by it, and I just love to hear her talk about it.
Well, I want you to go back, because we're running out of minutes here, but explain why it's called Pray Rain, whatever you just said.
The Pray Rain Journal, well, it has to do with an American Indian technique where you actually, where the Indians or anyone who is praying for rain does actually gets in the mood, gets outside and gets into the mood that it's actually raining, that they feel the actual rain on their bodies. They actually feel like they can open their mouths to the heavens and the rain will go into their mouths and they're nourished by, and they just feel everything about it. And when people do that, it usually rains. It probably always rains if you do it correctly. So the whole idea with the Pray Rain Journal is that you are absolutely feeling everything about this thing that you want. Probably, for me, I should have a Pray Rain Journal about getting out of the 9-to-5 thing. And I'm just thinking, I haven't really thought about it, but, you know, just there's something very bogged down about going into a workplace. Even though I love my patients, the people are often, getting back to the negativity of people, are very, very strange in their negativity. So I love them all, and I wish I could say, I wish you well, and I wish that I could go on to another segment of my life, you know? So I think a Pray Rain Journal for getting out of the dreaded 9-to-5 and getting into the portable empire, thank you, Pat O'Brien, is I think I'm going to start a Pray Rain Journal on that.
Yeah, I'd like to know some more about that. Are you going to do a lens on that?
I will. I actually have the material to do a lens. It's just that Jeanette doesn't have anything on YouTube or anything like that. I really like YouTube videos on these lenses, and it's, I guess you don't have to have a YouTube video on the lenses. You don't have one on every lens, do you?
No, not at all.
Okay, I will do that. I will.
You know, show the book and give the basic premise.
Yeah, I took a picture of my own Pray Rain Journal, so I could just put that up and, access Jeanette Moll's website, and maybe her blog could be channeled into that lens. That would be good. The Pray Rain Journal. Yeah. Karen Kay had asked, what kind of journal? It's a Pray Rain Journal. And you just really act like you work at really getting it what it is that you want through that creative visualization and putting it on the page.
Now, KK saying make your own video.
Oh, well, I've done that, and it's a little embarrassing. Oh, it's funny, though. That's a good idea. It's a good idea.
You could do it. You could try it again. I mean, we need the information.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Well, according to this, we have 6 more minutes. But we can go longer because that is something we can do. But if people need to run off, they can. But the call-in number, let me just say what that might be, since I seem to have lost it. It is 347-205-9200. Please call in and let us know your wisdom. This is a show where we are sharing our wisdom with each other, because nobody is an expert on this show.
Right. KK
we
is
are
saying, too, to do your video, your journal out by your awesome river under your tree.
Thank you.
That we
wow.
need to see.
Oh, wow. I love it. I love that. I like that we are Jill of all trades and mistress of none.
I love
like that,
too.
I think there's too many experts in this world. That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, we've got a serious discussion going on in the chat room, and I do want to say that, you know, none of us have all of the truth, and that's why we have this this show. We are all sharing our wisdom, and we all have a piece of it, and we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Yeah,
as Kate just said, none of us are none of us are experts. We are all on the journey, and we are all learning in our own way, and the best way we can. So, anyway, we love your input, and we've had a lot of good input tonight. And that's good. That's
and I appreciate everything that everybody said. Thank you.
It's been real interesting tonight, and I thank you. I think it's pretty neat for our first show, Kate.
Yeah, thank you. I do too, Joan. And I appreciate that we took that leap of faith, and like the fool in the tarot card, we'll never reach the ground because we'll keep on going.
That's right. That's right. And I hope you'll all be back with us next week. We will be right here. And as yet, our subject is not announced, right, Kate?
I think we'll come up with it.
Oh, I do too. They seem to kind of happen. But we'd love to have you all with us again. We have had fun with you and appreciate you being with us. And if anybody has one more thing to say, please give us a call. And as we start to wind down a bit.
The number is 347-205-9200. KK, I want you to know before we hang up, what I'll do is put on the music of Mother and Child Lullabies by Klaus Jensen. And Henrik, his musical partner, Henrik Burk-Abo. And I want to put that on so you hear it. And also I think we all should hear it again, www.musicformotherandchild.com. Klaus Jensen is on our Milagro World Forum, and he is one of the greatest guys in the world, as we all are. So we have 2 minutes remaining, and I guess we're talking about doing a lens on the dollar a day, and now we're going to do one on the Pray Rain Journal, so that'll be cool. Very, very cool.
And can we close out with that wonderful music and thank those guys again? We appreciate them, too. That's wonderful. Someone asked on the chat if we had permission to use the music. We do have permission.
Absolutely. I have worked that out to the letter. And I because we're promoting them. We want them to succeed. And we want people to buy their music. It's the most beautiful stuff in the world. So I think it's time to play it and everybody can listen. It's a 2-minute thing. Next week I'll put up the 5-minute thing, and because it is absolutely enthralling. But so goodbye, everybody. I love you all. And did you ever do one on CDs? I'm looking at KK's question.
I am too, and I don't know what she's asking. Did you ever do the music, you mean? His music? I don't know.
Okay, well, I'm going to play it and everybody can listen. I love you all. And
good night, all.
Good night. Love you, love you, love you. And here it is.
Love you. Thank you very much. See you next week.